The two worlds of art and art criticism combine in the work of Lori Waxman. The artist works as a critic for the Chicago Tribune, in addition to teaching at the Art Institute in Chicago. Waxman's own work involves critiquing emerging artists as her own performance art. Dubbed 60 Words a Minute Art Critic, Waxman initiated this ongoing work about a decade ago. The genesis emerged from her experience as a young art critic who had many friends who were artists.
And they were quite mystified by the art critic process, in the sense of, like, how do you get a review? Who are the reviewers? How do you get a show if you haven't had a review? How do you get a review if you haven't had a show? Basically, what's the deal in this very opaque process that is nevertheless kind of central to the art world and has been for the longest time? And so I put that together with something that I was doing for money. My job at the time was as the managing editor at DAP, Distributed Art Publishers. It's an art book publishing company in New York. And one of my many tasks there was writing all of the catalog essays for the 600 books that we distributed twice a year. Most of these books did not exist when it came time to write the catalog copy. I just had basic information about what the publisher was planning to do. This is how all catalogs get done. It's always before the fact. And I didn't have a lot of time to do it. But the copy had to be terrific. And so I developed this skill at writing inventive, correct, quick, efficient prose about art. I got very good at it because I had to do it for 3 years running. And I put this all together and decided, well, what if I take this skill of writing, I think, quality prose in quantity, and I mix it up with this situation where all these young artists are mystified by the criticism process, and I'll just go and sit in public, and I'll be right there, and if anybody wants a review, they can come and ask me for it, and I will do it on the spot for them.
Well, how did you even launch a project like that?
So I had the idea, thought it was crazy. And then I had friends who were curating a show as part of the Dumbo Arts Festival in Brooklyn, and they invited me to be like a living sculpture in their show, which had other works of art in it, not alive ones. And that was the first time I did it. And because I lived in Brooklyn at the time, it was very cost effective, and it was very interesting. Then I moved to Chicago, and I did it in Chicago. And then someone down in Knoxville, Tennessee heard about it. And this is when it got really interesting. So this fellow named Chris Malinsky, down in Knoxville, Tennessee, ran a storefront gallery called the Art Gallery of Knoxville. It was just a storefront. It just sounded really fancy. And he said, we need you to come down. We don't have an art critic. We have a theater critic. We do not have an art critic, and we have all these artists, and they're getting no feedback and no print, and we want you to come and do that for 3 days for us. And so I did. And ever since, I have only done the project in small cities that are kind of off the major art map, but nevertheless have an art scene, and kind of temporarily inserted myself into that scene to see what it needs and to see what I can give and take. Of course, in my normal critic job, I don't do anything like this. In fact, I really avoid the artist because it kind of gets in the way of proper criticism, the human element. The reason I do this is kind of to remind myself, for me anyway, because I partly do this for me, is to remind myself of this human element and continually test out what happens when I am made aware of it and what does it do to the criticism. And what at least I take back to my regular critic job is a reminder of this person on the other side of the artwork. Not that it should inflect the criticism too much or change it, because really criticism is about the artwork and not the artist, but nevertheless it's good to remember that there are human beings involved.
There's a lot of pressure when the artists come in here and you're giving them your review. But what about the pressure for you? Do you feel any pressure at that time? That artist is right there looking at you. You've got to do this quickly. What sort of pressure are you feeling?
It's a very human pressure. I don't want to hurt anyone's feelings. That is not something that I think about normally when I write for the newspaper. I don't normally know the artists I write about. And they are professional artists showing in museums, and that's just part of the deal. It's not part of the deal here. It's not part of the deal with emerging artists. It's especially not part of the deal with amateur artists. And I take that into account when I write the reviews. I guarantee that they're going to be serious and fair, honest, and inventive on some level, but I'm honest. So if I really have a problem with something, I will make that known. And if I'm really thoroughly excited by something, I make that known as well.
Doing this review process, it is your art, it is your performance art, and you are reviewing young artists, emerging artists. How do you keep it from moving into the realm of exploitation? Because this is ultimately your art.
So this is also a good question. It's not something I was very aware of when I first started out, but I had become increasingly aware of that there's like an agreement going on here where I am, this is my project, but I am asking these artists, whether they're amateur or emerging or professional, I mean, we get the whole range. I'm asking them to participate in my project and put themselves and their work on the line for my project. That said, I feel like it's an equal partnership. It's a good deal all the way around. Everyone gets something from it. Certainly, it's completely volunteer if someone wants to participate. I assume that they're coming in because they want to review. They're interested in professional feedback on their work. Perhaps they've never had something written about their work before. This isn't a studio visit. I'm not just talking to them about their work. I'm writing about it in print, and we're publishing it. And there's something very exciting and very real about that. And so I offer that. And that's not something you can get on demand outside of the performance.
Has 60 Word a Minute Art Critic ever been reviewed itself?
Yes, which is a great thrill for me whenever it happens. It's happened a couple of times. It happened in Knoxville, Tennessee. The theater critic came.
The theater critic came to review your performance.
Yes, which was kind of ironic because part of me being invited down there was because they didn't have an art critic, but the theater critic showed up to review the art critic critiquing the lack of art critics. What he was most excited about and weirded out by was the fact that I was writing in public and making the writing transparent, because my laptop is hooked up to a monitor or a projector on a closed circuit, and so as I'm writing, which is to say as I'm thinking, everything is visible, including my typos and me rethinking what I'm going to say, because I delete a lot. And he as a writer couldn't believe that I was exposing myself in that way.
You're reviewing a lot of really young artists. Who's the youngest you've ever reviewed?
I think the youngest was a 6-year-old painter in Germany. Her parents submitted the criticism request, and they brought in a great big, very witty painting by her, and it was a pleasure to critique. Oh no, there was a 4-year-old.
Oh, you had a 4-year-old.
Yeah, there also was a 4-year-old in Germany. She was the daughter of a performance artist, and there was one spot for the mother and one spot for the daughter. They each got their own review.
Tell me about the people who are coming in and being reviewed and the reactions they have.
I almost have blinders on when I'm working. Not literally, but almost. I put earplugs in and I kind of don't look up. I'm not terribly aware of what is going on in this space around me, including the facial expression of the artist. Also, the artist doesn't have to stay. It's not an obligation. This isn't meant to put the artist into an uncomfortable place, not at all, even if that does happen quite often, although no more than it makes me uncomfortable, I think.
Well, tell me about the art that you've seen so far here in Bloomington Normal. Are you impressed?
I am impressed. It was an extremely enjoyable day yesterday. There were faculty who came in. There were students who came in. I should say also, I kind of have no idea who anybody is, and that's part of the deal that I make.
Since this is a really rare opportunity for a young artist to get actual real critical feedback from an actual real art critic, do you think that you could really be impacting the trajectory of somebody's career when they absorb what it is that you're giving them, just being reviewed, giving them some sort of encouragement?
Part of the gambit of this project is to find out what a published review is worth, even if it's on demand. And I know that these reviews end up on resumes.
Are you okay with that?
Yes, absolutely. 100%. Part of the deal is that the review also becomes the property of the artist to use as they see fit. They've been published in catalogs because now they have a text written by someone with certain name recognition, with cultural capital. I've written a text on their work. They can use it. It's theirs as much as it's mine.
That's artist Lori Waxman. You can find her reviews of local artists published on the GLT website. I'm Laura Kennedy.